This lesson is going to be called The Holy Spirit, Our Prayer Partner. So go right ahead and we'll wait while you come on in. But as you get in, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. I'm going to give you today a Wednesday night Bible study. And I'm going to give you something I don't believe you've ever heard before. I have never seen it in print. I do not think it is in print. And unless you come to church here, I doubt if you've ever heard it exactly like this before, though I'm sure that there are people who do it and believe it, and I've had no special revelation. But for these many years, I'm going to tell you the way I've prayed, because I believe it's the Bible way to pray. And Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Let's read those two verses, 26 and 27, out loud, would you please? By the way, I promised you could stand again, didn't I? So let's stand and read that. I forgot I promised you that. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Ready? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Our Heavenly Father, this is one of those Holy of Holies passages, and I pray today that you'll revolutionize our prayer lives as we learn to pray with the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Now, I am not going to be very inspirational nor very preachy. I'll tell you what, the next 45 minutes very well could be the most important 45 minutes in your life. Our people who sat in this same Bible study that you're going to hear today, by the hundreds, said to me, Pastor, and they said, that one Bible study literally transformed my life and my prayer life. So I'm going to talk to you for a while and teach from the Bible an important study on the Holy Spirit, our prayer partner. I didn't say the Holy Spirit to whom we pray. Now, I wish you wouldn't take notes this hour, because I want you to listen. I want to really have your attention. I want you to follow me very carefully. I don't much think that I'm a real good Christian. I never think of myself as being a super spiritual person or a giant of any kind. But there are two things I learned when I was a freshman in college. I mean, I learned them. And if you let me say this, I think I still know them. The two things I learned were these. I learned as a kid preacher in college how to get things from God. Now, you've got to admit, there's got to be some reason for me. You sit out there and try to find a logical reason for Jack Hyles. You can hear John Rice and know he's brilliant. You can hear Lee Robertson and know he's a great leader. You hear me and say, well, looks easy. Now, there's got to be some reason. There's got to be some clue behind why a little guy like me could get so much from God. And I learned years ago in college how to get things from God. No joke, I did. And you hang around me for a while, and you'll find that I'm very human. If I don't use deodorant, I don't raise my arms up. You'll find if I don't brush my teeth, my breath smells bad. And if I don't use Desinex, my feet stink. You'll find I'm very human. But tell you something else you'll find. You'll find that I get my prayers answered. And I get things from God. I could tell you today, literally dozens of people in this church who've had tumors, whom I'm anointed with oil. And the doc, in fact, last night when I got home, one of the ladies, yesterday at this time, one of the staff ladies you saw this morning up here, was in the hospital having x-rays for brain tumors. And the doctor said, you had a brain tumor. We saw it on the x-ray. But he said, it's a miracle. It's gone. And yesterday, she was in the hospital. And this morning, she was up here. A staff lady. I could tell you the names right now, 15 people in this church, 15 couples, who couldn't have babies. And they came by the office and said, preacher, would you pray for us? And I have a little bottle of olive oil I keep on my in my drawer. And I touched their brow, of the man and the woman, and prayed for God to give life to his seed and to give to open her womb. And I can name 14 people right now whom the doctor said could never have children. We have little babies in our nursery right now. Now you say, you must be a good Christian. No, I'm not. But look, we have three girls. Linda was the best child of the three. Now, I don't say I love Linda more or loved her more. She just so happened when she came home from the hospital, she didn't take a bottle during the night. Linda has never been the kind of girl that threw a fit. I doubt if her husband's ever seen her, ever heard her speak a cross word, been married 3 years. I never heard Linda and Cindy all the time they grew up in our house speak an unkind word to each other. But Linda didn't get very much from her dad. Now, Becky had the colic before she was born. And I could hear it. She came home from the hospital. It took us 3 months to get her a formula that fit her. That she'd like. The only thing that worked was Coca-Cola. And the truth is, she was a horrible baby. And Becky was not, though Becky is the oldest and has a very dear spot in my heart. Good night. I called her yesterday and talked to her and sent her a check. She should buy her dress today. And I wired her somebody. I sent her a check. I wired her somebody. But she has a spot. But she wasn't as good a girl as Linda. Now, I don't mean she's a bad girl. She just wasn't as even disposition. But Becky got three dresses for Linda's one out of me because Becky knew how to work me. Becky would say, Dad, is that a toupee you have on? I'd say, no, it's all mine. No. I'd say, Becky, why don't we go shopping? Now, you see, now please listen. I want you to hang on every word because I'm not going to use the weapon of humor much tonight or the weapon of being dynamic or dramatic. I'm just going to teach you, but I want you to get it. Do you know, in a very sacred way, I say this, you can work on God. You check your Bible sometimes and you find out how David prayed. First, before you ever ask God for anything, he buttered him up. Check it. He said, God, thou the Lord God who made the heavens and the earth. And the Lord said, yeah. Yeah. That's me. Huh? And David said, how great thou art. And the Lord said, now look, don't be upset with me. And don't think I'm being sacrilegious. I'm being truthful. We're made in the image of God. And if we're made in the image of God, we're like that God is too. Check it. Check it. Check how many times. No, when Elijah prayed, huh? Thou the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Huh? Yeah. They told God how good he was. They told God what he'd done. And, for example, dear God, thou the God who answers your children all the time. You got him on the spot. He's going to break his record if he doesn't answer. He's going to ruin his undefeated streak. You see, there are ways that you can get things from God. Listen, I know, I think about one man right now. I went to college with him. He's one of the sweetest Christians I've ever met. I know he's twice the Christian I am. And you know that rascal? He loves God in a sweet, sweet way. But he's gone through his whole life not getting from God a tenth what I get. You know why? Because I learned how to work him. I learned God likes to be bragged on. And I learned God likes to be reminded what he did. And I learned that God is, oh, I hate to put it this way, God's a little bit human, as we call humanity. Now, follow me. And I'm going to show you something, if you've never seen it, that's worth your whole trip. And I won't say a word. You're worth your whole trip, me not say a word, wouldn't it? But I want to show you something now. That's worth your whole... It hurts me when you say amen to something like that. I mean, it's like a cold dagger piercing my breast. I'm a very sensitive fellow. Wasn't before this week, but I am now. But anyway, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you in two steps the secret to the Christian life. Now watch me carefully. I'm not going to say a word. But I'm going to preach a sermon that my people say is the best sermon I preach here on how to live the Christian life. And here it is. Sit. That's whole Christian life. Now, how to get things from God and don't keep them when you get them is what being a good Christian is all about. But here you are. Tightwad, your skin flint. Hey, you know God will give if we'll be rivers. If we will give out, God will give in. My job is only to scatter that which God allows me to have. Now please, please don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to help you. But I want to tell you, I don't have anything. Honestly, I don't. My net worth is probably a negative something. Now, a lot of money comes through my pockets. And a lot of money comes through these hands. I got a bank account with $250 in it. And that's it. That's it. Now, follow me. How do I get these things from God? First place, if you're not going to share them, forget it. But, first thing, I want you to notice that Dr. Rice teaches this, but I want to stress it. Prayer is asking God for something. You say, let's pray. Don't you bow your head. You say, let's pray. God, we love you. We praise your wonderful name. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Amen. You didn't pray. You thanked him and praised him, but you didn't pray. They say in the courtrooms, we pray the court. The word pray means, the synonym for pray is ask. So when I talk about prayer, I'm talking about getting something from God. Now, how do you get it? Now, I'm going to take you into a holy of holies today, and you'll never forget this if you'll give me your attention. You never will. This won't be as punchy as last night or near as punchy as Monday night, but this is my favorite teaching of all the teachings on the Holy Spirit. Because this is it. I'm going to teach you how to get money for your building. I'm going to teach you how to get a building. I'm going to teach you how to get your needs. And I've done this, what I'm telling you, I've done it for 30 years exactly like this. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit... That's Holy Spirit. Also helpeth our infirmities or weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, I'm sorry that says itself, that's a mistranslation, it's himself, maketh intercession. Now that word intercession, look down to verse 27, the last two lines. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, there are two words there, or two times the word intercession is mentioned. But now listen carefully. Those aren't the same words in the Greek. Both times it says intercession, but in the Greek it is not the same word. Now follow me. The first word, intercession, is composed of two Greek words which mean this: to meet with, to plead. To meet with, to plead. That's to meet with, to plead, plead, or beg. All right, now let's look at it. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself meets with us to plead for us with groanings that we cannot utter. Now, I want to give you several things. One is, and please don't take the notes because I want you to follow me. One is, I do not know what I need. And neither do you. Every time, once in a while, somebody says, "Hey, Brother Hiles, you believe what it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, where it says, if two will agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done in heaven?" Yeah, okay, let's claim something and God will do it. That's not true. The way you said it. That doesn't mean that you and I can get together, Bob, get together and say, "Lord, we want a new Cadillac for Bob O'Clair. And we claim it together because you said if two or more would agree at touching anything on earth, it shall be done." That's not what it means. And you'll find out in a minute. I do not know what I need. If I came to God myself and said, "Dear God, this is what I want, this is what I need," I'd blow it. I may ask God for something that'll tear me up. I may ask God for something not good for me. I may ask God for something to destroy my ministry. So, first thing, I do not know what I need, and you don't know what you need. Now, that means you need help from somebody who knows what you need before you come to the Father. All right, now, I do not know what I need. Number two, who does know? Who knows what I need? Holy Spirit knows what I need. All right? Now then, I'd like for, let's see. Am I in down here close? Okay, brother, could I use you? Who? Jack Hidget. Come on, Jack. Yeah. Come on, Jack. You're going to be God the Father. So you step right over there. You're God the Father. Now then. Now don't leave me now. Turn this up, please. I want something from Him, right? But I don't know what I need, right? Who does know what I need? He's the Holy Spirit. He knows what I need. So don't you think it makes sense for me to go to Him and find out what I need before I go to Him? I would no more think of talking to my Heavenly Father about my needs without first talking to the Holy Spirit about what my needs are than I would go to work without my pants in the morning. I'd be afraid to go to the Father and tell Him what I need. I don't know what I need, but He knows what I need. That's what it means here. The Holy Spirit meets with us to tell our needs, and then when we tell Him our needs, He goes with us to the Father. Now, follow me. I don't know what I need. He does know. I go to Him to find out my needs. He tells me. I make a list. Watch me. Dear Holy Spirit, I'm going to go to the Father, but I don't know my needs, but You do. And Romans 8:26 says that You'll tell me what I need. I'm just human. Oh, Holy Spirit, tell me what I need. And then He and I talk about it. And I get me a piece of paper out, and I write down what I feel like He's telling me. I make a list, a prayer list. And I write it down. Let's just suppose I write down. Suppose I go to Him. Watch me. You're the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm going to ask. Who am I going to ask for my needs? No, I'm going to ask the Father. But since I don't know my needs, who am I going to ask to tell me my needs? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I am.
I'd like to have a mink trim coat. And do you think I should have it?
Well, you need a coat, but you don't need one quite that elaborate.
Why? Now,
well, you don't know all the reasons. I could explain them to you. But just trust me, you need a coat, but not one quite that elaborate.
Not the mink trim.
Not the mink trim.
All right. I'm going to go to somebody else next time and ask them. Holy Spirit, I'd also like to have a white mink hat.
That wouldn't go with the coat I want you to have. You need one without the trim.
But I need a hat.
Yes, sir, you do. You need a hat.
But not mink.
But not mink.
But I can, I do need a hat.
A good wool hat be fine.
All right. Holy Spirit, this old suit I've been wearing a long time. I'd like to have a new $500 suit I saw down there at Joe Hirsch.
Well, you definitely need a new suit, but...
Don't be so snotty about it.
But you don't need one quite that elaborate either. Now, a nice suit, a cheaper suit, one $300-$400 would be fine.
Now, anybody that went to God, went to the Holy Spirit and said, Holy Spirit, should I have a fur trim, a mink trim coat? You know what he's going to tell you. If you ask for a new white mink hat, you know what he's going to tell you. So he tells me, and then he'll watch me carefully. He talks with me about my needs, but that isn't all. He goes with me. He maketh intercession. It's what it means here? To meet with, to plead. We just met. Now, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to pray to the Father. And Father, let's talk without a microphone. Now, while I'm talking to the Father, the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit knows me better than the Father knows me. And the Holy Spirit knows the Father better than I know the Father. So since he knows me better than the Father knows me and knows the Father better than I know the Father, then the Holy Spirit can help me get what I need in the Father. Oh, I get behind it. Heavenly Father, I pray for a new coat.
Yes, Father, he needs one too.
I need a new coat.
He needs one.
Father, I pray that you'd give me a hat.
He needs one,
it's
Father.
A rough winter, and I need a hat. I promise you that I'll try to serve you.
No, Father, give him a good one, too.
Father, I need a mink trim.
No, that's not exactly right. Now, Father, he may ask for that, but that isn't exactly what he needs.
Father, I told you the Holy Spirit knows me well, didn't I? Now, Father, I also not ask you for a new suit.
Yes, he needs one, too. Yes, give
him. I promise you, if you give me a coat and a suit and a hat, I promise you that I'll use it for you and I'll serve you. Now, you see, if the Holy Spirit and I can get together and talk about that before I go to the Father, then I've got the Holy Spirit going with me to the Father. Huh? And if I've got him going with me, I've got a better chance of getting what I asked for. Now, that's what it means in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When you get in tune with the Holy Spirit and then go to God with the Holy Spirit, then the desires of your heart have been conformed to the will of God and the Holy Spirit's desires, and you go to God, and God gives you the desires of your heart because you go to the God with the Holy Spirit. You see, I'll call you again, fellas, in just a minute. All right? Now then, I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. All right? Read it out loud with me. Ready? For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We both? We both? What does both mean? How many is both? Two. Well, it can't be talking about all Christians then having access to the Father, can it? Talking about two. Who are the two? It says right here, by one Spirit. Now, the word by there is that little Greek preposition that means by, into, with, or at. But here's what it says. Read it again. I'll read it to you. For through him we both have access with one Spirit unto the Father. Even outline. You pray to the Father, through the Son, with the Spirit. Now, I'll guarantee you, it'll change your prayer life. Now, I'm not going to use you right now. It'll change your prayer life if you'll do this. Before you ever go to God the Father,
If you were to say Holy Spirit, and I mean talk to the Holy Spirit, He's a person. And say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to ask Him for some things. And I pray that you'd help me to know what I ought to ask Him for, because you said you'd make intercession for me. I don't know what I want. Help me to know what I need. Help me. And the Holy Spirit impresses you concerning your needs, because He alone knows your needs. And after I pray like that, then I in turn say, Heavenly Father, I come to you with the Holy Spirit, and I ask you for this. I couldn't begin to tell you what that'll do to your prayer life. That's what they call praying in the Spirit. Now, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, and I'm gonna ring your bell. Matthew 18, 19. All right, look at it. Read it out loud with me. Ready? Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, that just sort of sounds like to me that anything a couple of us want, we can get. Doesn't it to you? But that's not what it says. Sir, I want to use you. Come out here, would you please? Look at that word agree. Wonder what the word is in the Greek? Symphonize. Symphonize. Now, you and I need something. Now, I need a new coat. Would you pray with me and claim God's promise that I'll have a new coat?
All right, yes, I will.
All right. Now, the Bible says that to agree. Now, the word symphonize means harmonize. Now, you and I have got to harmonize with somebody before we can get what we ask for. Did you ever see a couple of fiddle players? You know? Come on. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding, ding. And getting their fiddles, their violins, and then they ask the piano to hit a note. Huh? What are they doing? Harmonizing. Synchronizing. Getting the fiddling tune. Hey, listen now, listen. If two or more will harmonize with a third, then they can ask what they will, and God will give it to them.
Amen.
Now, with whom do we have to harmonize?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. So you and I have got to kneel here and pray about that coat. Holy Spirit, help us to know if we need a coat. Holy Spirit, do we need a coat?
Yes, you need a coat.
Holy Spirit hadn't got a microphone. Oh, Holy Spirit, would it please you if I asked for a cashmere coat without a mink collar?
Yes, that'd be fine.
All right. Would you pray for God to give me a cashmere coat, sir?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Holy Spirit, do you feel that he should have a cashmere coat?
Yes.
All right.
Would you pray about it and ask? Now let's ask God. Now we have harmonized ourselves with the Holy Spirit. You can't get it. Now lay me down, sleep, pray the Lord for soul to keep, fast, die, for awake, pray the Lord for soul to take, give me a cashmere coat, you and I agree, I'll get it. Amen? You can't do that. All this old stuff about, you don't have to beg God. Now don't you listen to that kind of poppycock, it's not true. You've got to stay. Listen, it takes some begging and fellowship and walking and waiting on God to get things from God. And so, we have tuned ourselves. We are in harmony. We have symphonized with the Holy Spirit. And now we can ask what we will. Thank you, brother. And that's what that verse means. Look at it again. Verily I say unto you, whosoever... I'm sorry. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. It's in heaven. Now let me change it. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall harmonize... symphonize on earth is touching anything that he shall ask, it shall be done to them which my Father which is in heaven. And again and again and again in the Bible, it has the same type teaching, talking about praying in the Spirit, praying with the Spirit. Turn to Acts chapter 15, verse 28. Acts chapter 15, verse 28.
Now read that out loud with me, please. Ready? For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now there it is right there. It seemed good to whom? Holy Spirit. And to? That's you and me. We got together. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Seemed good to us. We harmonized our prayer with the Holy Spirit. And then when it was harmonized, not only did the Holy Spirit tell us what we needed, but he went to the Father with us to intercede to the Father for us. Say, when I talk to a sinner, be a sinner now. Well, you took a long fall, didn't you? The Holy Spirit, get behind him. Now, watch me. I'm talking to a sinner. You know that you're a sinner, don't you?
That's
the Bible
right.
Says in Romans 3:10, you know that.
You are. You
all
are.
Right? And you know that sinners are lost. Romans 6:23 says that. For the wages of sin is death. You understand that?
That's right, yes.
Now, while I'm talking to the sinner, the Holy Spirit talks to him, right? Now then, now he's God. Dear Father, I ask you for a coat.
That's right, Father.
You need
so when I talk to the Father, Holy Spirit talks to the Father for me. Say, did you know the only two people in this whole world I got to have? Sinner and God. And the local press can't do a thing about me then. And the denomination can vote me out, but I'm still going to make it. If I can get, listen, two people I've got to get to listen to me, God and the sinner. And that's exactly the two people the Holy Spirit said he'd help me talk to. I got a pretty good thing going. Now that's what Romans 8:26, listen to me. Your prayer life can be transformed if you get to know the Holy Spirit.
You go to him and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what I need, but you do. Holy Spirit, help me to know what I need. And then when you find out from him what you need and you go to the Heavenly Father, he goes with you and convinces the Father of your needs. And I'll double dog guarantee you that your prayer life will be completely transformed. In the first place, you'll never go to God alone. And you'll never go cold turkey. You go see the Queen of England. You don't barge right in. Now you have access to barge right straight to God. You don't have to stop. But if you'll just stop on the way and say, Holy Spirit, how about let's go together? And while we're going to God, would you help me to know what I need? Would you help me to get what I need from God? Then that's what it means. Thank you, fellas. I'll call you again.
The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now then, look at verse 27. And he searcheth the hearts, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now then, that word intercession is a different word than you find in the previous word. That word intercession is the word he tells God what we forget to tell God. Now follow me. Holy Spirit, I'd like to have a new mink trimmed coat. Do you think I ought to have it? Do I need it?
Well, you need a coat, but you don't need a mink trimmed one.
All right. Holy Spirit, I'd like to have a white mink hat. I saw one advertised, and it sure looked nice, and I believe it'd be good for a preacher to have one of those, don't you?
Well, no, I don't. I think it'd be better for you just to have one that matched the coat.
All right. Boy, I tell you, I coveted that $500 suit down at Joe Hirsch. Boy, it's pretty. You reckon I could have that?
Well, I saw it, and it was a nice one. But you don't need one quite that nice.
Why?
Well, there are many reasons. I can't give you all the reasons, but you don't need that one.
How about one reason?
Trust me. All right, first of all, your people don't have $500 suits.
That makes sense.
See?
All right. Okay, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, it's cold winter time, and I'm a little embarrassed about my coat. I'm pastor of a church.
That's right, Father.
And Holy Father, please give me a new coat.
He needs a new coat.
And Father, I also need a new suit.
Yes, but get him a hat to match the coat, too, Father. He does need a suit.
Wait a minute. You got me ahead of me. I got a smart-aleck Holy Spirit up here that... Okay. I need a new coat, Father.
That's right, he does.
And Father,
I really need a new suit. This one really is. It's about had it.
That's right.
Please give me a new suit.
Yes. Give him one.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Father, he's gone. He needs a hat to go with that coat, too.
All right.
Now, get him one that matches.
I forgot to ask for the hat, didn't I? Huh? But I got somebody that didn't forget it, didn't I? Huh? Yeah. Before they call, I'll answer. I didn't ask for the hat. But I got somebody hanging around in case I forget who checks his notes with mine. So if my list is not complete, he's got a checklist. And he says, Father, there's some things he was going to ask you for he forgot about, but let him have it anyhow. Now, buddy, that'll make a butter come. That's why I say, hey, get me on here. Don't turn me off. And that's why I say, the Holy Spirit is your prayer partner. He prays with you. He prays for you. He knows what you need. He tells you what you need and doesn't send you the Father to ask for it, but goes with you and reminds the Father that when you ask for it, he wants you to have it. And then if you forget anything and leave, he says, Father, I've been with him already. He forgot about something. So, Father, let him have that too. Now, I'm going to do it one more time. And I'm going to show you how I do it and how I've done it for 30 years. I want to show you how I pray. Now, hold it. I sometimes come to God and say, Lord, I love you. I don't have to check with the Holy Spirit about that. Because that's not praying. That's praising. You see? Dad, I want to get Mama something for Christmas. Or I want Mama to get me something for Christmas. Dad, don't you go swing it? You ever hear that kind of language? Or more likely, Mom, could you butter up Dad? Huh? And the mom goes and says, look, Dad, now Johnny's going to ask you for something. It may seem ridiculous to you, but please. Or did you ever, like I was? My dad whooped me one time. He beat everything out of me. He got a 2x4, and boy, listen, if H.E.W. had known about that, my dad would have gotten the last sentence. And I can still see my mother standing beside my daddy saying, Dad, don't hit him so hard. Daddy, not so hard, Daddy. Now, Daddy, you're going to hurt him too bad. Daddy, don't do that. And the Holy Spirit goes to the Father for me and with me. All right, now watch it.
We'll do it again.
Just repeat. Okay, Holy Spirit. It's cold and I need a coat. And I need a hat and I need a suit. I'm a poor preacher. You know you've heard me. You hurt me again. You're supposed to have said, no, it's too late now. I'm already hurt. You're sorry?
That's right.
All right. Now, here it is. I'm going to pray. Now, you say, pray to the Holy Spirit? Yep, the Bible says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Who's the Lord of the harvest? Holy Spirit. Who convicts? Who converts? Who regenerates? Then he's the Lord of the harvest. Pray him. Paul said, that we were going to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered us not. Holy Spirit said, don't go. Dear Holy Spirit, I need a coat. Dear Holy Spirit, what kind of coat do I need? And what kind of hat and what kind of suit? Help me to know what I need. I want to go to the Father.
All right, you need a good one. The winters are long. You need something that'll hold up. You need something that'll be moderate, but a good one. Perhaps a cashmere or an all-wool coat. That'll meet your need.
I need a hat and a suit.
Yes, get a hat that'll match the coat. And, of course, a good moderately priced suit will be appropriate.
I feel impressed with the Holy Spirit to ask God for a cashmere coat, a warm coat, maybe all wool. I feel impressed with the Holy Spirit to ask for a hat to match the coat and a moderately priced suit. Heavenly Father, I want to serve you, and I love you. And I come to you asking you, if you would, give me a coat.
Do it for him, Father.
Something that's warm.
He needs it.
I don't want to be extravagant, but I want to look nice because I'm a preacher. And dear God, I need a hat to go with the coat. Please give it to me.
That's right. Give him the hat and the coat,
Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
And by the way, Father, now he needs the hat and the coat, but he also needs a suit. And don't forget to give him the suit. Get him a good one, too. One that'll make him look good.
Now, one that'll make me look good. It's going to take a miracle there, boy. I don't think God the Father even wants anything like that. Now look at Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, if we don't know, we got to find somebody that does know and ask him. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us and tells us what we need with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what it is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit tells the Father what we need that we did not ask for. Now then, how does Romans 8:28 start? What's the first word? If the word "and" is there, what do we know? It's connected with the previous verse. You can't understand Romans 8:28. You understand Romans 8:26, 27. If I go to the Spirit and seek him to help me know what I need, and if I go to the Father with the Spirit to ask him for what the Holy Spirit told me I needed, and we know then that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. See, so all things work together for good to those who prayed right. The simple things like this. Thank you, fellas. Just stay there. I might need you. I'm not sure. But the simple things like this. Now listen carefully. I'm through. This is just one of the keys. It makes a little old ragamuffin guy like me tick on the inside. I learned this. You said, "Ever the Hiles, what if I forget and go on to the Father, ask him for the cashmere suit?" I don't think God's going to mind. But I'll bind you one thing. You're going to come near getting what you asked for if you find out who knows what you need first. See? And then, here it is. Then you can delight yourself in the Lord. Every once in a while somebody says, "Oh, just ask for it and you'll get it." That's not true. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But those desires must be desires caused by delighting yourself in the Lord. I'm going to say something and quit. Now listen carefully. Watch me. I don't know the thing I want. If anybody was going to buy me a gift, there's nobody could tell you anything I want. I don't know anything I want. If my folks gave me a new Cadillac car next Sunday morning, I wouldn't be one bit happier than I am right now.
I just can drive that little Datsun out there. I don't want a Cadillac. There's nothing I want. There's no place I want to go. You give me a ticket anywhere in the whole world for a trip. I don't want to go unless it's to 8232 Greenwood where I live. See, I don't want anything. There's no place I want to preach any more than any other. I preached in all the big churches in America. I preached in big coliseums to tens of thousands of people. All of my boys' dreams are filled. Now listen to me. As far as I know, there's nothing I want. Nothing. Except what He wants me to have. And if I know my own heart today, and I don't claim to be a good Christian, if I know my own heart today, all I want is what He wants for me. But I don't know what He wants for me. So I cannot rush to the presence of the Father and say, Father, I want this and that and this and that. I've got to stop and say, Holy Spirit, there's nothing I want. So help me to know what I need. And the Holy Spirit tells me what I need. And then he and I go to the Father. And we together talk to Him and ask Him for my needs. And then I'm glad to have it because I know it's what's best for me. I promise you, you try it. It'll change your life. He tells me what I need, goes with me, and pleads with me to the Father because He knows I need it. And if I forget to ask for it, He lingers and says, Father, there's something He forgot. He needs this too. And there's nothing any sweeter than to say, Father, I need that hat, I need that coat. And to go home, and all of a sudden somebody calls and says, hey, I got a new hat for you. And I got a new coat for you. And I got a new suit. Suit? Good God, I forgot to ask for the suit. How did you know? He did. Yeah, I should have known. That's it. Now, as long as you live, don't forget this. Our Heavenly Father, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And dear Father, please, may somebody write me a letter in a few months and say, Preacher, that little 50-minute lesson on Wednesday afternoon late, we're all tired and sleepy. That's why I came to pastor school. I learned how to pray. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Thou art my portion day after day. I long to know Thy will and Thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Our heads are bowed. Let's learn to pray. Let's learn to get things from God. I wonder who would say, Brother Hiles, I think there's something I need. I don't know for sure, but I think there is. And I think today I've learned something. I've learned that if the Holy Spirit confirms it, I can go to the Father and get it. And Brother Hiles, that thing that I believe God wants me to have, I'm going to use God's plan that you presented today to seek it. I'm giving myself anew to prayer. Would you lift your hand, please? You may lower your hands. Father, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Amen. Paul said, I've got a thorn in the flesh. Lord,
Remove it. Now follow me. You know the story, don't you? Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh. Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh. Dear God, please remove this thorn in the flesh. Holy Spirit, I feel like I need this thorn in the flesh removed.
Well, you need the thorn in the flesh.
Oh?
It's keeping you dependent upon God the Father.
Oh. Father, I'll serve you with the thorn because I found out it's best. I got this throat problem. I got this throat problem. I don't have any, I don't feel bad, but I'm embarrassed to death. Before I walked in here a while ago, I said, oh God, don't let me cough too much. And I love him. Honestly, I do. He knows I love him. Now come to, listen, I've said, God, look at those babies in our nursery that you've given an answer to my prayer. I've taken a whole bottle of oil and put it on my neck and said, God, help me. I preach all over the country, and I sit up there, and I'm getting a reputation as being a coughing preacher. Help me! And then I went to the Holy Spirit, and he seemed to say, you pray more about that than anything else. I don't believe the Father would know you very well if you didn't have that problem. And I said, okay. I'll just keep on coughing. And do the best I can. Because the Holy Spirit, he knows I need it. I don't think I do, but he knows I do. So I'm just going to keep on preaching it. Keep on coughing, clearing my throat. And if I go down in history as being the coughing preacher, nobody can say I cough for the devil. See you at 7 o'clock at the Civic Center.